Man, title of my sermon tonight is Soul Winning in Apartments. Soul Winning in Apartments. Now, this is something that I've been dealing with literally for the last 20 years. I started soul winning when I was 17 years old. And in Sacramento, California, when I went soul winning, we had problems back then where, you know, they'd try to throw us out of the apartment complexes. The police could be called occasionally. This is something that I've literally been dealing with for 20 years, and I believe the same way about it that I believed about it back then is that God has called us to preach the gospel to every creature. The Bible says, daily in the temple and in every house, they cease not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. God has commanded us to go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in that God's house might be filled. And the command is to preach the gospel to every creature, not 40% of the creatures, not 50% of the creatures, 45% of the creatures. He said, preach to every creature. And let me tell you something, these apartment complexes, they're not getting less prevalent, they're getting more prevalent. In 2018 America, there are more apartment complexes than there have ever been. And especially in a place like Tempe, Arizona, where you have the college and where it's a newer city, it's filled with apartment complexes. And literally, more than half of the population of our city either lives in an apartment complex or an HOA, homeowners association, neighborhood, or a gated community, or a mobile home park, and supposedly we're not supposed to knock any doors in any of these places. Oh, and by the way, it's also not legal for us to go soul winning on Indian reservations. And we constantly have the tribal police coming to us and telling us, hey, you can't be on this reservation, kicking us off this reservation and that reservation. Let me tell you something. If we were to actually follow all of these rules that this city or the state or these complexes are putting on us, we would literally only be able to knock about 40% of the doors that God has called us to knock. I don't know about you, but I want to do the whole job. And if you look at our map over there, our soul winning map, where we shade in what we've done orange, you'll see that we have shaded in a lot of this city, and some of the most densely populated portions of this city have already been shaded in. We have literally knocked the doors of almost 2 million people, and we're not going to stop. Now, the thing about it is that there are poor people who live in houses, but there are also a lot of poor people who live in apartments. And the Bible commands us first and foremost to preach the gospel to the poor. Okay. Flip over, if you would, to the parable found in Luke 14. Keep your finger in Acts because we'll be back there. Go to Luke chapter 14. There's a principle in the Bible of preaching the gospel to the poor. The Bible says, of course, in Luke chapter 4, you're turning to chapter 14, but in Luke chapter 4, Jesus preached and said, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. The Bible says, hath not God chosen the poor of this world, rich in faith, and heirs of the kingdom, which he hath promised to them that love him? But you've despised the poor. Do not rich men oppress you and draw you before the judgment seats? Do not they blaspheme that worthy name by which you were called? Look, the Bible teaches that poor people tend to be rich in faith, and that the rich people tend to be hostile to the gospel. That's why the Bible said it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to be saved. So the most fertile ground for sowing the seeds of the gospel, the best people to talk to and preach the gospel to are the poor, the working class, the lower middle class. Those are the people that are most likely to get saved. Look at Jesus' disciples. They were working men. Fisherman, he's coming from a family of a carpenter. And so we see that that's the type of demographic that Jesus's ministry revolved around. The Bible said the common people heard him gladly. It didn't say the rich people heard him gladly. The common man heard him gladly. Look at the parable in Luke chapter 14. It says in verse 21, so that servant came and showed his Lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city and bring in hither the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. And the Lord said unto the servant, go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. You know, we start with the poor and then we reach everybody else. You know, I believe in getting the gospel to everybody, but first the poor, then everybody else. Now, if you look at the soul winning that we've done in this church, we have knocked the doors of the poor areas that are anywhere near our church many different times. For example, the town of Guadalupe, just a couple miles from here, we have knocked every door in that town systematically 8 times. Now, the first time we knocked all the doors, that's when we got the most people saved. The second time through, we got a little bit less people saved. The third time through, we got even less people saved. Because eventually, after you've knocked every door over the course of a decade, 8 times, you know, about once a year, over the course of 8 or 9 years or something, there's a law of diminishing returns, because you get to a point where most of the people in that town, they're either already saved because we've already gotten them saved, or they've already told us they're not interested, they don't want to hear it, or they've heard the gospel and rejected it. So it's, you don't want to just keep knocking the same doors over and over again, is what I'm saying, right? And eventually it's just going to get annoying to both you and them if you just keep knocking the same people's doors. So by the time you've knocked an area 7 or 8 times over the course of a decade, that area is pretty much done, okay? Now, when we go to a rich area or an unreceptive area, a place where a lot of people are not getting saved, we just knock that area 1 time. And we shade that sucker in, and we mark it and avoid it, and we're done going back there, right? And we shade in the map, and we're done. But look, we want to give everybody at least a chance 1 time. We want to at least go to each neighborhood and knock every single door. Now, if it's a good area, we'll go back, and we'll go back, and we'll go back. But if it's an unreceptive thing, we won't. So look, it's getting to the point, my friend, where anything within 20 minutes of our church, if it's a poor neighborhood, it's been done many times. So it's getting to where what's left is a lot of rich neighborhoods of houses, and what's left as far as the poor are apartment complexes. Because even if you're in a nicer area, when you go to the apartment complexes, it's more the common man that's living there. It's not the lifestyles of the rich and famous in a typical apartment complex. And so look, in order for us to have a fertile soul-winning ground near us, we've got to hit these apartments. This is part of, first of all, it's part of the mission to get the gospel to every creature. And secondly, it's some of the best soul-winning. And when we go to these apartments and go soul-winning, there are many people who want to hear the gospel. There are many people who are glad that we came by. They're thrilled to talk to us about the Lord. They receive Jesus Christ, their Savior, with gladness. And sometimes they'll even visit our church and so forth. Look, that's a great mission field. And we're not going to let the police department or some manager or anybody else tell us that we can't do the work that the Lord has given us to do. This country is a free country, and we have the First Amendment for a reason. And the reason why we have the First Amendment is because there have always been wicked people that want to trample our rights and want to abuse us and take away our rights. And just like it was hundreds of years ago, it's the same way now. And the Bill of Rights is there to protect us from these kind of idiots that want to stop us from freely exercising our freedom of speech, freedom of religion, and all the other freedoms that are in the Constitution. Why do we have the right to go soul winning? Why do we have the right to preach the gospel? Why do we have the right to knock doors in any neighborhood? Why do we have the right to enter the Indian reservation and go soul winning? Why do we have the right to go into the apartment complex and go soul winning? To go into the mobile home park to go soul winning? You say, oh, it's the First Amendment. Wrong. No, we have the right because God told us to do it. That's why. So look, forget the Constitution, forget the Supreme Court, forget what the law says. What does the Lord say? God commanded us to go preach the gospel to every creature. Now let me ask you this. In the book of Acts, when the authorities said, hey, you can't preach the gospel here. You can't teach in this name. You can't do this. What did the apostles say? Oh, thank you, sir. Thank you so much, officer. Is that what they said? They said we ought to obey God rather than men. Judge in yourselves, should we obey you or should we obey God? That's what they said. And that's why they were persecuted. And that's why the Bible said, all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Now look, it's so easy for our watered down, lame, lazy, sorry Baptist brethren to say, you guys are just provoking, by going to the, why don't you just go soul winning somewhere else? We already did, you lazy jerk. You know, of course you don't understand because you go soul winning twice a month. Your church goes out soul winning twice a month and all you do is leave a door hanger and then run away as fast as you can. You go doorbell ditching with your church. We go soul winning. Amen. They go there, they leave their little door hanger once a month for 45 minutes, and then they go, well, I wonder why we didn't have these same problems that Faithful Word had. Because you didn't do any real soul winning, that's why. Because you know what? When I was doing real soul winning with Regency Baptist Church, we had these problems. When I was doing real soul winning at Faithful Word Baptist Church, we had these problems. Why? Because if you do enough soul winning, you're going to run into these rabid atheists who are triggered, and they just want to call the police. And let me just explain to you where this sermon's coming from, okay? On Monday night, we had a group of soul winners, soul winning in an apartment complex. The police were called. Now, that's nothing new for us. We've literally had the police called on our soul winners at least probably 50 to 60 times. Now, I will say this. 13 years ago when I started pastoring this church, it was a rare occurrence. It would happen literally like once a year or once every year and a half that the police would be called out and that we would actually have to deal with the police. It was literally something that would happen once in a blue moon, okay? But I'm telling you, the last 2 or 3 years, this has ramped up to the point where we are literally getting the police called on our soul winners every single week in many cases. Just my Wednesday night soul winning time alone, we had a time where 3 weeks in a row at three completely different apartment complexes, we had the police called. And you know why the police are called? It's not because we're being rude. We're not being rude. We're being friendly. We're courteous. We're nice. And if people don't want to hear the gospel, we don't want to talk to them anyway. I mean, if I knock on somebody's door and they're not interested, I can't get out of there fast enough. I want to get to the guy who is interested. Okay. I'll tell you what happens, because I've seen it with my own eyes 20, 30 times, okay? You knock on the door of some God-hating atheist, some pervert, some freak, some reprobate, and they're just like, you're not supposed to be here. I'm going to call the police. You don't even say anything. You just say, hi, I'm from You don't even have a chance to even tell them who you are. Who knows what I'm talking about? They're already mad. They're already cussing you out. They already hate your ever-loving guts the moment that they see the Word of God in your hand. Because they don't hate you. They hate the Lord. They hate Christ. So they see you walk up to the door. You got the Bible in your hand. And they freak out. They're triggered because they're reminded that they're going to spend eternity in hell. And they hate Christ. They don't even want to retain God in their knowledge. They dead sure don't want somebody knocking on their door and reminding them that God exists. And so what happens is you knock enough doors, it's going to happen. Now, you knock doors in these apartment complexes and they call the manager and the manager comes over on a little golf cart and says, hey, you guys can't be here. You guys are soliciting. We're not soliciting because we're not selling anything. Okay? The Bible does not say anything about soliciting. The Bible doesn't say go solicit in all the world. It says go preach the gospel to all the world. That's what we're doing. So we're not selling anything. We're not soliciting. Okay, but you can call and they say, well, but you know, you're going door to door, it's illegal. You know what? It's not illegal, but even if it were illegal, I'm still gonna keep doing it. And if it gets to a point where we're continually thrown in jail and they're just making it impossible for us to continue our work, then we'll go somewhere else. Because the Bible says if they persecute you in this city, flee into another. That's what the Bible says. But stopping soul winning is never an option. The Bible never gives that option of just laying low, go underground, or wait for the people to come to your church. No, he says that if they persecute you in this city, flee into another. But you keep preaching the gospel, you keep knocking doors, you keep shouting it from the housetops, and you never stop. You don't stop. Now look. I don't consider it to be a heavy enough persecution for the police to come up and hassle us a little bit, or even when people do get arrested or whatever and get let out a few hours later or the next day, that's not enough to where we're going to move to another city, folks. There are still plenty of people here that need the gospel. There are still plenty of people that are receptive. 99.999% of the time, you're going to be able to get away with it. You need to just keep doing it. You know, now, yeah, when they start clamping down on us to the point where it becomes impossible, then I would say, okay, I'm going to go somewhere else. But I don't think it's ever even going to get to that point. And if it does get to that point, then we'll cross that bridge when we come to it. But we're far from that. And you know what? If churches like us would stand up for ourselves here and stand up for our right to preach the gospel, then we'll keep our freedoms. But America is so lazy and apathetic, they won't stand up for their rights. They just want to roll over and let the government just take over their rights. And look, most churches aren't affected by this because they're not even evangelizing. Or the independent Baptists who do soul winning, yeah, they don't go to apartments. They don't go to mobile homes. They don't knock any door that says no soliciting. You want to know why? Because they do so little soul winning, they don't even get to those. You know, they have plenty of neighborhoods to knock because they're doing so little. Look, if you actually have an aggressive soul winning program where you're knocking the doors of 4 million people, you're going to have to run into these apartment complexes and mobile homes and everything. And let me tell you something. Every time the police have been called and thrown us out of an apartment complex, we always got people saved there. Every single time that they throw us out, before we get thrown out, we've already had a salvation or two salvations or three salvations. You know, so is that wrong? No, God's blessing us. God's using us. God's leading us. God's guiding us. And you know what? A little bit of opposition from the man shouldn't stop us because we should have a backbone. Okay? And not just let every little thing just make us want to curl up and roll over and die. And you know what? I'm sick and tired of this watered down, lame Christianity that's got this big beam in their eye of not even going soul winning, and then they're going to tell you how to go soul winning. They're like, here, let me get the mote out of your eye. Let me get that little speck out of your eye because you're going soul winning apartment. You need to stick with houses. They have this giant beam in their eye, no soul winning. And you know what? If you don't go soul winning, don't even give me your opinion. Shut your mouth. I don't even want to hear what you have to say about soul winning. You don't know anything about soul winning. If you don't go soul winning, then shut your mouth and leave it to the people who are actually doing the work of the Lord. Amen. Amen. Oh, Peter, I don't think you should preach in the temple, Peter. Shut up. You don't even go soul winning. Get thee behind me, Satan. Bunch of losers. Yeah, we're soul winners, and then there are the soul losers. Because if you don't gather with Jesus Christ, then you scatter abroad. That's what the Bible says. Why don't you get off your butt and get out there and do some soul winning? Why don't you win somebody to Christ? Why don't you bring your convert to come get baptized and then come tell me how to run a soul winning program that I've been running for 20 years? For 20 years, I've gone out every single week, and I've knocked doors, and they've threatened me, and they've thrown me out of this complex, thrown me out of that complex, threw me out of this country, banned me from that country, deport me from that country. But guess what? Not before I'd gotten scores of people saved. Yeah, we got thrown out of Botswana after we got several hundred people saved. Yeah, we got kicked out of the schools in Guyana after we got thousands of people saved. Yeah, I got banned from Jamaica, but we got 900 people saved. And you're turning people away. No, if you don't gather with Christ, you're scattering. You know who's turning people away? The person who doesn't evangelize. The person who doesn't go soul winning. That's the one who's scattering abroad. And you know what? When we go out soul winning, hey, we're friendly to the people. We love the people. The people are the people that we're doing it for. We're trying to get them saved. And by the way, when these cops came and arrested our soul winners on Monday night, as they're pulling them away from the door of the people they're talking to, the people at that door said, wait, I want to talk to them. These people are my guests. I wanted to hear what they have to say as this butch cop is pulling them away. What in the world? What right do the police have to stop somebody from having a visitor in their own home? And don't tell me it's the private property of that apartment complex. That's baloney. The people who pay to live there, it's their property. You know what? If you rent your house, does the landlord just come over and just take a shower in your house? Does he just let himself in, plop down in the living room, put his feet up on the coffee table, and say, I own this house? No, you don't, buddy, because you leased it to me. And so for the next 6 months, it's my property. And you know what? The people who live in that apartment complex, that's their domicile. That's where they live. They're paying to be there. And they have the right to receive visitors from church if they want to. And if they don't want to and they say, I don't want you here, then bye. We'll go to the next person. But they don't have the right to throw us out of the whole community or throw us out of the whole neighborhood or throw us out of the entire apartment complex. And you know what? I was just riding my bike today through Tempe, and I just passed apartment complex after apartment complex. And you know, every single one of them has a sign out front. Private property, no trespassing, no soliciting, no loitering, no handing out any literature of any kind, pursuant to substatute 13 dash blah, blah, blah. You think that sign's going to stop me from going in there and winning somebody to Christ? Because it's not. And you know what? These churches that don't knock the doors in the apartment complexes because they're too scared, you know what? It's because they're barely knocking any doors anywhere. They don't have the problems that we have of, oh, we've already knocked all these doors 8 times. Where do we go next? That's FWBC problems right there. Okay. We're looking for new ground to knock. We're doing the real work here of evangelizing every creature. And I'm sick of the Monday morning quarterbacks and everybody, the armchair critics, telling us how to run a soul winning program. Bunch of atheists and sodomites telling us how to be a Christian, and a bunch of backslidden Christians telling us how to run our soul winning program. Doesn't make any sense, folks. Why don't we let the Bible tell us how to do it? And I'm going to get into some specifics of how we deal with this as a church and what our steps are going to be taking going forward. But look what the Bible says in Acts chapter 4, verse 1. As they spake unto the people, the priests and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they laid hands on them and put them in hold unto the next day, for it was now eventide. Howbeit many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of the men was about 5,000. So look, yeah, they get arrested and dragged away, but not until they'd already gotten 5,000 people saved. So is this a regrettable incident? Look, if we're getting people out of hell, that's worth going to jail for the night. Amen? That's worth paying a fine. That's worth a citation. That's worth having to deal with the police or whatever. It's worth it. Okay? Because it's a lot easier to go through dealing with the man than to go through hellfire for the people that we're trying to get saved. We don't want them to go to hell. We're trying to get them saved. It says in verse 18, and they called them and commanded them not to speak at all nor teach in the name of Jesus. Okay, yes, sir. But Peter and John answered and said to them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye. And you know what? That's my same answer to the police. Right. It's my same answer to Chandler Police. It's my same answer to the apartment manager. It's my same answer to anybody who's going to try to stop us from preaching the gospel to every creature. We cannot but speak the things which we've seen and heard. So when they'd further threatened them, they let them go, finding nothing how they might punish them because of the people. For all men glorified God for that which was done. And let me say this. We've had the police called out at our church at least 50, 60 times. That's a low estimate, okay? But this is the first time that anybody has ever been arrested for soul winning that I know of at our church or any church that I've ever been a part of. No, they'll probably add that to the book, though. But honestly, I've been soul winning for 20 years. I've had the cops show up. We've had the cops show up every week for a month before. The cops just showed up on Sunday on our soul winners. And then again on Monday night. We've never had anybody arrested. This Monday night was the first time that the cops have actually arrested people for being out soul winning in an apartment complex. And you know what? The four people who got arrested, let's give them a big hand right now. Good job. Bravo. Hey, and you know what? That's just rewards in heaven for you. Just leap for joy. Just be happy that you were counted worthy to suffer affliction for the cause of Christ. Okay, and so this is the first time, because usually they just threaten you, as it says in verse 21, and then they let them go, finding nothing how they might punish them. But this time, the Chandler PD has decided, oh, we're going to actually make an arrest, we're going to actually issue a citation, and you know what? We're going to fight them tooth and nail. We're going to give them a war that they won't believe. Okay, because we are going to die on this hill. Because I have been fighting this for 20 years, and I'm going to keep on fighting it, because I promise you this, if we roll over and say, okay, we won't knock doors in apartments, we won't knock doors in mobile homes, we won't knock doors in the gated community, we won't knock doors in the HOA, we won't knock doors in the Indian reservation, you know what's going to happen next? We just won't be able to knock any doors. Because if you give them an inch, they'll take a mile. You give them a finger, they'll take the whole hand. And the next thing you know, they'll say, oh, you need a permit to go soul winning. They're already trying to pull that in Tempe. Oh, you need a permit to go door to door. Here's my permit right here. And that's what they're trying to do, folks. And if you let them do it, that's what they're going to do. The government will take as much as you let them take. There has to be a check and a balance on the government's power where the people stand up to them. And you know what? We have freedom in America. Why don't we use it? If we have the Bill of Rights, if we have freedom, we need to stand up and use it. Because you know what? Otherwise, we'll get to the point where standing up gets you thrown in prison or gets you killed when you're in the USSR or something like that. Look, we're not to that point yet in America. So let's not let it get to that point. Let's. Other people in other countries are like, wow, we could never get away with the civil disobedience that you guys do in the United States. Man, if we tried that here. Yeah, exactly. That's why we need to keep doing it, so that we can keep getting away with it, so that we don't become this oppressive government where, you know, soul winners are being thrown in jail and for more than just a few hours. Amen? You know, we don't want it to get to where the consequences are more serious than they are right now. Flip over to chapter 5, if you would. Chapter 5. The Bible says in verse 11, and great fear came upon all the church and upon as many as heard these things. And by the way, that's fear of God, not fear of man, if you get the context. Verse 12, and by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people, and they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. Now, Solomon's porch has to do with the temple. Okay. And of the rest, durst no man join himself unto them, but the people magnified them. And believers were the more added to the Lord, multitudes both of men and women. Insomuch that they brought forth the sick into the streets and laid them on beds and couches, that at the least the shadow of Peter passing by might overshadow some of them. There came also a multitude out of the cities round about unto Jerusalem, bringing sick folks and them which were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed every one. Then the high priest rose up and all that were with him, which is the sect of the Sadducees, and were filled with indignation, and laid their hands on the apostles and put them in the common prison. But the angel of the Lord by night opened the prison doors and brought them forth and said, go stand and speak in the temple to the people all the words of this life. Let me ask you this. The angel of the Lord, who's a messenger from the Lord, bringing a message from God, when he gets them out of prison, does he tell them, hey guys, let's stay out of that HOA. Let's stay out of that apartment complex. Let's stay out of that mobile home park. Let's just go somewhere else. He sent them back to the exact spot that they were arrested. True or false? Isn't that what it says? He said, go stand and speak in the temple. That's where they got arrested. Go speak in the temple all the words of this life. And then the next day, when they go to pull them out of the jail cell and arraign them, they say, oh, well, those guys you arrested, they're standing in the temple preaching. They're preaching the word of God. What in the world? And then they arrest them again and bring, you know, because the angel... I mean, these angels throughout the book of Acts are like these jailbreak artists. I mean, the book of Acts is a series of prison breaks. It is. The angel comes in and lets him out of prison. I mean, look, the famous verse, what must I do to be saved? That's a jailbreak story. Because remember, all the chains fall off, all the doors open, and then the jailer's going to kill himself because he thinks he's going to die for letting the prisoners go. And they say, hey, we're all here, do thyself no harm. And then he grabs a light, and he's trembling and astonished, and he says, what must I do to be saved? Right after the big jailbreak from the Lord, okay? So I don't know what Bible these people are reading. These bunch of bootlicking Republican neocon Fox News Christians. They're not reading the Bible. They're listening to talk radio. And they think, oh, we got to stand with the police. Baloney. Oh, the police. Yeah, let's talk a little bit about the police. Yeah, the police who come and harass us every single week for preaching the gospel. The police who allow abortion to go on and murder to be committed every single day in our city and every city in America. Why don't the cops go arrest them for murder? Right. Well, abortion is illegal. No, murder is against the law. Murder is illegal. Why don't the cops go in and put that abortion doctor under arrest? Why don't the cops come in and put those nurses under arrest and drag them downtown and book them for murder and just keep arresting them and keep booking them? And then the judge can say, you're guilty. I sentence you to death for murder. First degree murder. Well, they don't have the power to do that. Then you know what? Why don't they do the honest thing and turn in their badge? Why don't they turn in their badge and make an honest living since they can't enforce real laws like murder? You know, I was driving down the road in Arizona. I had a car slam into me from behind and then flee the accident. I chased the car down. I'm chasing the car down that slammed in the back of my car and fled from the scene. I wrote down the license plate. I'm chasing this car through traffic. I was right behind it, and I see a motorcycle cop by the side of the road. And it was heavy traffic. I'm thinking, saved. I mean, this guy's on a motorcycle. He's going to easily be able to catch up to this guy. I pull up to the motorcycle cop. I say, that white Monte Carlo right there just slammed in the back of my car. I recited the license plate number to him. Go get him. He hops on his bike, rides off, rides back a minute later. Oh, I lost him. I'm like, you're on a motorcycle. I'm in a car. And I was able to, but you know, he lost him on purpose is what he did. Because I said, well, here's the plate. Are you going to run the plate? No. Can you fill out a report for me? No. I said, well, this is a rental car. What am I going to tell the rental car company? I mean, I need something kind of a report. No, it's all right. He's like, oh, this will just buff out. The bumper's like hanging off. I'm like, this is serious damage. You need to write me a report or so, you know. So then finally, I forced the guy to make a police report for me about the fact that I was rear-ended and smashed. And I said, you know, what if you would have caught the guy? Would you have even done anything? Would you have even been able to punish the guy? Probably not. I said, well, I guess he might as well just run away then. He might as well just escape. Because I said, are you going to run the plate? Here's what he said. Well, maybe if it were a homicide, we would. Maybe? He's literally, that was his exact words. Well, maybe if this were a homicide, but all he did was just hit your car. We're not even going to run the plate. There's so much crime. We can't even deal with it. Oh, but you sure have time to send 5 police cars when we're out sowing. So there's so much crime, you don't have time for the hit and run. Oh, that's just small potatoes. That's no big deal. But you got time to show up every single week for the soul winners. And they don't send one car. They send like 5 police cars. Look on the video. Sergeant Donna Reno. She's like, we're going to need at least 2 cars back up. We got a couple of blonde women out here soul winning. We're going to need severe backup here. They have Bibles. It's a 2-edged sword. It's a deadly weapon.
But it's funny. They don't have time for the hit and run. They just, no, won't do anything. Look, I wrote down the plate number. Can you do something? No. You going to run this? No. Can you fill out a report? No. Too lazy. Look, this is the day that we're living in, folks. The police are not your friend. I don't care what Fox News told you. They're there to take your kids away from you. They're there to enforce a bunch of unjust laws. When the bunch of goons from CPS come to your house, they're there to right there with them to kidnap your kids. They're there to shoot your dog, beat you up, taser you. You know, give you excessive fines. You park in the wrong place, $200. Roll through a stop sign because it's tilted sideways and you can't even see the thing, $400. I don't like this. Then get out of here. Go listen to Sean Hannity, you idiot. Why are you even here at church? Why do you even come to church, you bootlicking police-loving goon. You know, it's so funny how you don't want to hear what the Word of God says, but you love Sean Hannity. Sean Hannity's a Roman Catholic. He's going to burn in hell. Amen. And that, what's that guy's name, Wiener? What's his name, the radio host? Michael Savage. Yeah, his real name's Michael Wiener because he's a God-hating, Christ-rejecting Jew. Go listen to your Jew, Glenn Beck, and your Mormon, or he's the Mormon, right? Yeah, go listen to your Mormon, Glenn Beck, and your Catholic, Sean Hannity, and go listen to your Jew, Michael Wiener, and go listen to, who else do they listen to? That slob, Rush Limbaugh. What's he on, his fourth wife? Yeah, Mark Levin, another Jew. Another Christ-killing Jew. Freemasons, Jews, Roman Catholics. That's who you listen to every day. And then somebody reads the book of Acts to you, and you're like, you just need to support the police. No, we need to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, and we shouldn't care about what the police are doing. Okay? Let the police go fight real crime and leave us alone because we're not killing anyone. We're not committing adultery. We're not doing drugs. We're not snorting cocaine. We're just trying to live our Christian lives. Amen. Leave us alone! Amen. We don't need you to come in and hassle us for serving the Lord. We're sick of it. You say, well, I don't understand why you're so mad. Okay, when was the last time you were beaten by the police? I got 11 stitches in my head from the police beating the snot out of me for doing nothing wrong. Okay, I was tasered by the police for 20 seconds straight for peacefully protesting for my rights and just sitting there, not even moving a muscle, and just getting juiced with electricity for 20 seconds straight. So you know what? Until you've had the police beat the crap out of you and electrify you for doing your job, for making a living, for winning souls to Jesus Christ, until you've been thrown in the gravel and tackled like one of our ladies was tackled on Monday night, you know, don't tell me about how great the police are because I'm sick of it. I'm sick of it. And you know what? You know what? I'm not voting next Tuesday. So put that in your pipe and smoke it. I'm not going to vote for these bunch of police state Republicans. And I'm sure not going to vote for these filthy, perverted Democrats with their abortion and sodomy and transvestite garbage agenda. You say, I don't like this kind of preaching. Well, you know what? Then go to pretty much any other Baptist church in the world and you won't hear it. And you know what? I'm glad you're hearing it while you're here. Somebody's telling you the truth for once. You think I'm going to vote? I keep seeing all their ads popping up. Some woman is running for something in Arizona. She's going to be a warrior against the drug cartels. Oh, I'm so tired of what heroin is doing in our neighborhoods. I'm going to be a warrior. Okay, well, can you start by going after the U.S. military? Black operations for bringing in the drugs? I mean, look, people must think we're stupid. You know how many drugs are consumed in this country on a daily basis that are imported from other parts of the world? And let me tell you something. It's not some Mexican running through the desert with a little bit of drugs. It's entire shipments coming in. It's entire boatloads. It's giant airplanes and containers of drugs coming into this country every day. Look at the amount of drugs that are consumed. And, you know, now It's just openly known that the government brings in the drugs now. They just made a Hollywood movie about it. I was reading about a Hollywood movie with Tom Cruise in it. That just makes a joke out of the fact that the government, all throughout the 1980s, was just bringing just plane loads of cocaine into Mena, Arkansas. They made a movie about it. And, oh, yeah, isn't this funny? And Bill Clinton was a huge part of that. He was importing drugs in the United States. They were sending planes down to South America filled with guns, illegally selling them to the Contras down there, and then they didn't come back with an empty plane. Then they filled the plane with cocaine, and they flew it into the United States. Our government imports drugs, period. And then these lying politicians, they're going to go tough on drugs. No, what they really mean is they're going to go tough on you. They're going to spend more money on police, more money on Border Patrol, and I wonder which way the barbed wire is going to point on that wall that they're going to build down at the border. I wonder if it's going to point toward us or toward the Mexicans, because I have a feeling it might even point this way to keep us in. You know, when they built the Berlin Wall, they built that wall. They said, oh, it's to keep people out of East Germany because communism is going to be so good, everyone's going to want to come over. That's what they told them. Let me tell you something. Our government brings in the drugs, and 90% of the people that are in jail right now are for drugs. Yeah. That the government brings in. That the military and that our secret agencies and the government bring in. You know, I remember when I was a teenager, I was really interested in learning foreign languages, and I thought it'd be a cool job to work for the CIA. I watched a documentary about the CIA, and I was thinking, like, man, this looks pretty cool. This looks like a fun job. You know, I like learning foreign languages. You know, you travel and do all this stuff. And then they got to the end, and they're explaining how, in order to be a CIA agent, though, you have to be willing to murder, commit adultery, sell drugs. You know, you have to be willing to just do all these immoral things for the greater good. And I said, well, I looked over at my dad. You know, I was watching the program with my dad. And I said, well, you know, no Christian could be a CIA agent then. Because you have to be willing to sleep with women, and you have to be willing to commit murder, and you have to be willing to sell drugs and do all this stuff, you know, for the greater good or whatever that even means. The greater money in some Jew's bank account is what they really mean by that, the greater good. Okay. And, you know, this sermon is a radical sermon, but okay. Somebody's got to tell it like it is. Now, I'm you know, I'm opening all different cans of worms here. So let me kind of refocus the sermon, okay? Soul winning in apartment complexes. All right. Let's get back on that for a while. Now, let me explain to you my rationale here, okay? At the end of the day, you know what I want? I want to be left alone by the government. I want to live my life. I want to raise my family. I want to preach the gospel, I want to evangelize and do my work, and I don't want the government to hassle me. I want to have freedom. That's all I want. Now, I am on this earth to fulfill a mission for the Lord, and so are you. I mean, we're here to do work for the Lord, and it has to do with getting the gospel to everyone. That's a big part of our job, and to teach them other things and to preach all the things in the Bible. So, at the end of the day, what I really want is I want to be able to go soul winning in apartment complexes on a weekly basis and be left alone by the government. I want the police to leave me alone as I go and knock doors in apartment complexes. And if people don't want to talk, I don't want to talk to them either. So, you know, if they say, hey, I'm not interested, all right, see you later, have a good day. Was that so hard? Oh, I got to go call the police to come beat someone. No. Now, look. The reason, this is what we do when we go soul. I just want to explain to you the policy of our church and what our game plan is and how we handle this, just to make sure everybody's on the same page, okay? So when we show up to an apartment complex to go soul winning, a lot of times we'll go and we'll knock doors for an hour, 2 hours, we'll get the whole thing done, because we usually bring about 15 people. And a lot of times we just have no problems, and that's great. But many times you'll knock on the door of that rabid atheist who will call the police and or call the manager or try to kick us out or whatever. Now, when that happens, here's what we do. If the manager comes and tells me to leave, I say to them, no, I'm not going to leave. I'm going to keep on knocking doors. You know, this is my God-given right to do this. The First Amendment. You know, we're not bugging anybody. If people don't want to talk, we're going to move on, but we're going to keep on going. And if they say, well, I'm going to go call the police, or whatever, I just say, go call the police then. I don't argue with them because I'm not there to waste time in an argument. I want to just keep soul winning. So I just say, go call the police then. And if they keep following me and bugging me, then I just tell them, hey, you need to get away from me and leave me alone. If what I'm doing is truly illegal, then call the police. But you don't have the right to follow me around and chase me, or I'll call the police and tell them that you're stalking me. Okay, that's what I've said to them a bunch of times. Just go call the police. If what I'm doing is, and then they're like, okay, yeah, I'll go do that. I'm going to go call the police. Now, the good thing is that when we go soul winning on Wednesdays, it's only a 1 hour soul winning time. So by the time that rabid atheist gets their door knocked, and then by the time the management calls the police, and by the time the police respond, usually we're leaving. So there have been many, many times when we're literally in the van driving out the driveway, and the police are driving in, and I just roll down my window, and I'm just like, see ya, suckas. And we're done. We've already knocked every door, and we're leaving. So it doesn't matter at that point, okay? Now, here's the thing. A lot of people say, well, yeah, but when the manager tells you to leave, you should leave. Here's the problem with that. Sometimes the manager will tell us to leave like 10 or 15 minutes in. And all right, everybody, let's all leave. It's like, well, we haven't even gotten anything done. Whereas if we wait for the police to show up, we can actually continue to knock. And many times we can even finish the job and get out of there before the police respond because they're too busy with the Dunkin' Donuts or looking for somebody's drugs that the other branch of the government brought in to the country. Okay. You know, not to mention the drugs that a third branch of the government buys for people, the prescription drugs that they get high with, okay? The prescription drug abuse is huge. That's a whole other subject. There's a lot we could talk about tonight, friends. Don't get me on the subject of our government. So that's our rationale. You know, all we want to do is, you know, we don't want to deal with the police. That we love it when they don't show up in time. And the best thing is when we're driving away and they're driving in and we're just like, see ya. Okay. Now, sometimes the police will actually, you know, come and confront us and whatever. Now, what I try to do is I try to just waste their time because of the fact that I know that I've got 10 other guys soul winning in the buildings. So what I do is I try to just talk to them and just kind of waste their time. But what I'm certainly not going to do is go round everybody up for them. If they want to go round up the other 15 people, let them do that. So I just kind of waste their time and talk to them and just stall and create a diversion so that they can finish everywhere else, you know. And so, you know, if you're out soul winning and you personally get thrown out, you know, don't rat on everybody else or help them find everybody else. Just, you know, if you want to leave, just say, okay, I'll leave and just walk away. But don't, you know, don't start calling everybody, hey, everybody, we're all going to go meet up with Officer Donut over here. It's like, no. So, I understand also that there could be people who are not comfortable with this, and they don't want to run the risk of getting arrested, or they don't want to be confronted by the police, and sometimes for a legitimate reason. Maybe they have children with them, or, you know, obviously we don't want pregnant ladies getting thrown into the gravel and stuff like that by the police when they come out. We don't want them coming out and tasering pregnant women. So, look, if you're not comfortable going soul winning in apartment complexes, then go soul winning in the neighborhoods. You know, there's always a neighborhood right across the street that you could walk over and go soul winning there. But for those of us who are willing to take the chance, for those of us who are willing to stand on this, you know, we need to keep knocking these apartments and keep on soul winning in all these places. Now, we're going to have a soul winning marathon in the city of Chandler on December 15th. Okay, because the city of Chandler is the one that arrested our soul winners, okay? And you know what? If you're not mad about this, then something's wrong with you. You're mad at stuff that I said in my sermon because I offended your little talk radio wiener host, whatever his name, Michael Savage or whatever. You know, why don't you get offended about the fact that your sister in Christ was thrown in the gravel? If you're offended by this sermon and you're not offended by a Christian lady with a Bible being thrown on the ground by a cop, jumped from behind, unawares, snuck up and throw her on the ground, you're not offended by that, huh? But go ahead and vote for all your little Republican drug warriors on November, whatever the date is. I don't even know what date it is. Is it this Tuesday? Is it next Tuesday? Don't even tell me. I don't even know. I don't even care. Because voting only encourages them. Right. We're not going to stop, so we're going to actually take it to the city of Chandler. Yeah. You know, and the reason we wrote the addresses up here is because people in our church are writing letters to the the police department, writing letters to the mayor of Chandler. We already wrote, 100, 200 letters or whatever this evening. And, hopefully people all over the country and all over the world will keep calling them, emailing them, writing letters to them. And you know what? They think they can bully us and intimidate us into not soul winning. We're just ramping up our soul winning in Chandler.
Amen.
You know, a lot of our soul winning times, we're just going to start redirecting them to Chandler. I'm not kidding. And we're going to put on a special event on December 15th in Chandler, Arizona. I hope that people will fly out here from all over the country to go soul winning with us in Chandler. And what we want to do, we're going to do the typical soul winning marathon routine. We'll have breakfast at Panera, amen, at 9 a.m. We'll go soul winning from 10:30 to 12:30. We'll have lunch at Panera. We'll go soul winning from 2:30 to 4:30. And, we're going to break into two different kinds of teams. We're going to break into the teams of the people who are willing to get arrested or willing to take that chance of dealing with the police. And those groups are just going to hit apartments all day. Just hit apartments all day. And if they throw us out of an apartment complex, we'll just be like, all right, see you guys at the next apartment complex, officer. Because we're just going to get in the car and drive to another one. And then we'll break up into a group of people who don't want to get arrested. And basically, they can hit neighborhoods in Chandler. And they'll go up and down just the houses, the neighborhoods in Chandler. And, I'd love to see 100 and some people in the neighborhoods, 100 and some people in the apartment complexes. And let's just get hundreds of people saved in Chandler. And see what they think about that, how they like that. And you know what? At the end of the day, no matter what happens at the end of that day, we know that if we go out and preach the gospel, people are going to get saved. It's going to be a great day. Then what I think we should do after that is we should probably have some cookies and hot cocoa because it's so close to Christmas. And then when we're done with that, you know what we should all do? I think all of us, 100, maybe 200 people or whoever's willing to do it, should all go to the exact apartment complex where our soul winners were arrested and go Christmas caroling that night. Let's do a flash mob. Let's bring 200 Christmas carolers to what's that apartment complex called? To that River Ranch Apartments in Chandler. Let's go out there and let's sing all the Christmas songs in the hymnal right in the middle of that apartment complex. And let's all wear a festive Christmas sweater while we're doing it and see what the Chandler police thinks about that. I mean, is this really what the police want their image to be? They're fighting the crime of preaching the gospel and singing Christmas songs. The crime of tacky Christmas sweaters. No, look. It's a joke, friend. Anybody who thinks that the police is justified to throw a Christian lady on the ground for going out soul winning with a Bible in hand and being friendly and inviting people to church and telling them about the gospel, to come up behind her and throw her on the ground like that thug Sergeant Donna Reed did from the Chandler Police Department, you're a wicked person if you think that's okay. And sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. And I'm sick and tired of these left-wing liberal atheists being triggered by the Lord and the gospel and soul winning. And then they think they can just call in these goons. And then, of course, the goons are just like, yes, master. This little tiny short woman, Donna Reed, this little female Napoleon. Or what did I say? Oh, Donna Reno. Wasn't Donna Reed like a black and white show for the 50s? Yeah. Yeah, okay. Hey, I don't have anything against Donna Reed. I think I saw a few episodes of the Donna Reed show back in the day, but it's been a while. Okay, look, this Donna Reno, this short little Napoleon little woman with her little complex, okay? And then she's got all the, and then she had like this giant guy that's just like, like literally just this big thug that's like doing her bidding. And look, I have a confession to make. I've run into this Donna Reno before. Because I was out soul winning about a year ago, and I had a run-in with this exact officer, Donna Reno. And she came up and tried to tell us that we couldn't be soul winning at an apartment complex. And I just looked at her and said, I don't talk to women in uniform. And I only talk to her partner. And every time she tried to talk to me, I just said, I don't talk to women in uniform. And then I would just keep talking to the man that was there. So she's probably just been laying in bed every night since then, like, ooh, I gotta get them, you know. And you know why? You know why she threw down a godly soul-winning lady? You know why she did that? Because basically Deborah said, she said, I'm gonna go talk to this officer over here. And she literally just pointed toward him, and then all of a sudden, next thing she knows, she's put on the ground. No warning of you're under arrest or anything like that. Just, you know, it was just like triggered. Boing. But you know what? People like that shouldn't be police officers if they can't control themselves, if they can't control their emotions. Yeah, you can file an assault charge, but is it going to go anywhere? You know, because I've tried to file that kind of stuff when they beat me up and they don't do anything about it, you know. Yeah, or get her decertified. I'm for everything. I'm for all of it. Amen. But, you know, what I'm personally going to do is I'm going to overcome evil with good by going and preaching the good news of Jesus to as many people in Chandler as I can. And, you know, let the goo. I wonder how big the jail is in Chandler. You know what I mean? I wonder how many people that thing can hold if we have hundreds of people out soul winning in apartment complexes that day. You know, it's just stupid. I mean, this is America. It's a Christian nation, so-called. It's supposedly founded on Christian principles. Of course, it's being de-Christianized every day. But we have the right to go soul winning. And we're going to keep exercising that right. And you know what? The old IFB is not going to back us up on this. They're scaling back soul winning. The Christian Law Association's not going to bat for us, friend. They'll probably testify against us in court, is what they'll do, okay? These bunch of old IFB cowards, I mean, look, you open the sword of the Lord, you think in the noteworthy news they're going to put down that soul winners got arrested? Nope. Because you know what's in the sword of the Lord noteworthy news? The bathroom at Target. Transgender, Muslims. It's all just what's on Fox News. Everything that's the Fox News, right-wing propaganda from the media, that's where you'll find the Sword of the Lord, noteworthy news section. We get thrown out of, we go get 1,000 people saved and get deported from a country. It's not even a blip on their radar. We don't even exist unto them. Okay, you think they care that soul winners are being assaulted? No, they're mad because some little girl wasn't allowed to pledge allegiance or wear a flag to school or something. She couldn't wear a flag t-shirt. That's in their noteworthy news, right? Because it's all the Fox News talking points is all they're interested in. So look, the bottom line is this. At our church, we're going to keep soul winning in the apartment complexes, HOAs, mobile homes. The police can like it or lump it. Now, look, I believe that what we're doing is legal, and we do have a piece of paper that we hand to the cops and hand to the managers that gives, you know, legal justifications for what we're doing, and it gives a Supreme Court decision that backs up what we're doing. And I believe that what we're doing is legal, no matter what the sign says. But you know what? At the end of the day, I don't care whether it's legal. God told me to do it. I'm going to keep doing it. They can make a law against it all they want. I'm going to keep doing it. Now, if you're not comfortable with that, you know, then be a part of the soul winning program that goes to neighborhoods. Just knock doors and houses. That's okay. Fine. You don't have to knock apartments if you don't want to, but I'm knocking apartments. And many of us will knock the doors of apartments, and we're not going to let these people stop us. And you say, you know, well, how do we handle it? And I've heard a lot of people say, you know, be friendly to the police, be kind, be civil. Well, look, that's good advice just to not get killed since they're so violent, you know what I mean, and they fly off the handle. But look, I don't think you owe them that at all because they're wicked people. They are evil. When they show up to shut us down when we're soul winning and say, hey, you can't go soul winning. You can't preach the gospel. When they interrupt a conversation where somebody's hearing the gospel, they are working for Satan at that point. They are of the devil at that point. And I don't respect them. I'm not going to be friendly to them because they're evil. And what they're doing is wicked. And when they assault one of God's people and they throw a Christian lady on the ground, they're evil. I don't respect that. I'm not going to be kind to them. I'm not going to be nice to them. Amen. Now, be careful that you don't get killed out there if you mouth off to them, but you don't owe them anything. Right. And, you know, we don't want to be too nice to them because we don't want to give them the idea that what they're doing is okay. Right. I want to make sure that they know that it's not okay. Right. I'm not going to put up with it. And, you know, we need to stop caring about the issues that TV and radio are telling us to care about and start caring about the issues that actually matter. You know what the issue really is that matters is soul winning. That's the issue that matters. Our freedom to go out and win souls. And I don't care what stupid issues are on the ballot. Those issues don't even matter compared to this issue. You know, people need to start caring about this issue. And look, we go out soul winning every week and have the police called on us multiple times a month for our 13 soul winning times a week. We have every right to be angry. We're sick of being harassed. We're sick of being stepped on by the Tempe police, the Phoenix police, the Chandler police. They come out. They threaten us with violence. They threaten to kidnap us. They threaten to taser us and shoot us. Hey, we're sick of it, and we're not going to put up with it. And why should we participate in their system and vote for them when this is what they do to us? When they hate us, persecute us, and treat us like garbage, and the Republicans are no better than the Democrats, and none of them will protect us, none of them want to help us. No, they all hate us. Well, then nuts to them. Why should we go down and check their name in some ballot? I'm not going to do it. You can go vote. Go vote all you want if it makes you feel good. I'm doing something. I'm helping. Wasting your time. I wouldn't waste 5 minutes on voting. Amen. You couldn't pay me to vote for these people because they're all wicked. Yeah. The Republicans are a lot of them are a bunch of closet sodomites and weirdos and Mormons and Freemasons and Roman Catholics and Jews. I'm not interested in supporting that. I don't want anything to do with that. We need to get a focus on what the Bible says. Soul winning, this is the kind of stuff we should care about. And unplug from the what the media is telling us to care about. And so the soul, you know, thank you for letting me get this rant off my chest tonight. And the soul winning is going to go on. And that map over there, we're turning that thing orange. We're turning it all the way orange. And the police are not going to stop us. And they can try, but you know what? And I don't know what other people are going to do. But you know what? I'm just going to keep doing it. I don't care how many times I get arrested or put in jail. I'm just going to keep doing it. If it gets to where they arrest me so much that I can't be effective, then I'll just go somewhere else. At that point, I'll move away and go somewhere else. But I don't think it's going to come to that if we actually push back and stand up for ourselves. Okay? But we need to just keep on winning souls. And that's what matters. Let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Father, we thank you so much for your word, Lord. And Lord, I just pray that your people would actually read the book of Acts and read about the evangelism that goes on, read about them preaching the gospel and getting beaten and getting thrown in jail, getting thrown in prison, all the authorities and officers telling them that they can't preach and how they defied that authority and continued to preach the gospel, Lord. Help us to have the same boldness, Lord, to keep preaching the gospel, to keep soul winning, and not lose our freedom in America to evangelize. And in Jesus' name we pray, amen.